next and making his debut on the weekly Pac-12 via teleconference call, UCLA coach Jim Mora. Coach is online, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Scott Johnson, Everett Herald.
Hey, Coach Mora, I was just wondering about your year away from the game, from coaching. What was it like just being away from coaching, and how did that sort of reinvigorate you?
Well, it was great in a lot of ways, and it was revealing in a lot of ways. I got to spend a tremendous amount of time with my wife and 4 children, which was great, something that as coaches we don't get a lot of time to do. I got to go around the NFL and see games every week as an analyst for Fox Sports. And it also gave me a chance to spend some time around the University of Washington and that great program and Scott Woodward and Steve Sarkisian, and kind of reinvigorate myself for the college game. And it was good, but I'm glad to be back in a competitive environment.
And since you've gotten into the college game, what's the biggest wake-up call, the most eye-opening thing that maybe you didn't know that's a big difference from the NFL?
Well, I don't know that there's anything that's just, you know, eye-popping. I can tell you what I really enjoy, and that's the relationships with the student-athletes at this age group. They're very impressionable, and that's a lot of fun to be around. You know, these kids hang on every word. You feel a real sense of responsibility to them, not only as football players, but as students and people. And, you know, as such, you're kind of an extension of their parents in regards to helping them become the man that their parents want them to be. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging, and I'm excited about it.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
Morning, Coach.
Good morning.
What do you make of the new kickoff rule?
With regards to which part of it?
To the whole thing. Do you think it's a good idea to, with the ball at 25 now, it seems that the teams are rewarded a little more for taking a knee in the end zone or taking that touchback?
You know what? I don't have a great feel for – I mean, I don't have a real strong opinion either way. I mean, we have an excellent kicker, and he has the ability to, you know, probably put it out of the end zone in most circumstances. But we have a lot of confidence in our cover teams as well. So at times we'll try to hang it up there and see if we can, you know, pin them inside the 20. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that it's going to make a whole lot of difference to us either way. It's 5 yards at the start of the drive, and I'm not sure that it's going to be real significant. I could be wrong.
When the NFL changed their rule, it was in the name of safety.
Sure.
Apparently. Do you see this as being in the name of safety as well?
Well, I believe that's probably the impetus for it, but I'm not the right person to ask. I think those that made the change are the ones to ask with regards to that.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Hey, Jim, I may have missed this, but have you decided on who will be your backup quarterback in week 1?
Hey, Ted, we haven't announced it, and we have an idea, but it could be really any one of the three that are traveling that are not starting, and that would be between Jerry Neuheisel, Kevin Prince, and Richard Brio. And it could depend upon situation or any number of things. So we really don't have a solid depth chart in terms of the backups. We have an idea of who we'd play when and why, but nothing that we're really ready to announce yet.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bud. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
I wonder if you could give us a little bit of a sense of the style of Brett Hundley, just kind of what he brought to the position there and maybe a little bit how that competition developed.
Sure. Well, we had initially hoped that we could make a decision at the end of spring. We hoped that, you know, one of the four that were the primary competitors would kind of establish himself as the guy. And what happened is really all four of them elevated their play and stayed fairly even in terms of their progress and level of ability. And then as we got into into fall camp, it just became apparent to us, and I think really to our entire staff and our team, that Brett was the guy that was grabbing the reins and taking it and going. And so we made the decision on the 10th of August that he was going to be our starter. We're really excited about all of our quarterbacks, but Brett in particular has a unique style in that he's a big physical guy. He's close to 6'4", and he's probably right around 225 pounds, and he's got a really good arm. He throws with accuracy. I think one of the primary things for a quarterback to be is a good decision maker. And Brett has shown to be a good decision maker. Another thing that I really like about Brett's style of play is that his ability to overcome a negative play and back it up with a positive play. There's a number of times, as there are in every practice, where, a quarterback makes maybe a poor throw or takes a sack when they shouldn't take a sack, or something just doesn't go right. You create those situations in practice. And Brett was always able to back it up and come back with a real positive play. And then, the other thing is that he's very mobile. I mean, he's a big guy who can run. And I don't know if there's a style that I would compare it to. I don't think that would be fair to Brett right now. But I'm really excited to watch him develop.
Is that a tricky dynamic at all when you've got two other veteran guys, especially Prince, who's started so much down there? And I mean, was that a tricky thing to manage at all?
Well, it would be if they weren't all such great kids, and I'd include Jerry in that, Neuheisel, because he's kind of the forgotten man in the competition publicly, but not in-house. But, in particular, Richard Brio and Kevin Prince are both experienced guys, Kevin obviously a little bit more so. Just the way they approached the whole thing was with a tremendous amount of class, and they have been nothing but supportive of Brett and our decision, and I have not seen any inkling of them being, I'm sure they're upset, bothered by it, but they've just been very supportive of Brett.
Thank you.
Got time for one more question?
Sure.
Your final question comes from Doug Holler, Arizona Republic.
Jim, you just touched on this a little bit, but when you have a young first-year quarterback, what's your biggest concern for that first game? Is it managing nerves? Is it performing in front of the crowd? Just what is it?
I think it's both of those, and it's just, what I think any young quarterback has to do is realize that they're just part of the team. And for Brett in particular, he doesn't have to go out and win that game for us. He just has to be a part of an offensive unit that's productive. He needs to make good decisions with the football and not put our team in difficult circumstances. And I think one of the things about Brett that will really help him is that if it doesn't look right to Brett on a passing play, he can run, and he can get us out of a bad play. Or, if he doesn't feel comfortable reading his progressions like it's written up in the playbook, he can get out and go and put a little pressure on the defense. So, obviously, we want him to stand in the pocket. We want him to read his progressions. We want him to be patient. We want him to make good decisions. But just the simple fact that he can get out and go, I think will help calm his nerves in these first few games as he's starting to grow.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right, that'll do it. Jim,
thank you
for your time today, and good luck in your opener Thursday night.
Appreciate it very much.
Okay, take care. All right, we'll continue with Colorado coach John Embry. Coach is online, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. Again, to ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Kevin Gimmel, ESPN.com.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. A couple of questions. First off, game against Colorado State, obviously it's important for you guys to get off on the right foot, but what does this game mean in terms of in-state recruiting and, I guess, sort of in-state pride?
Well, it means a lot, having Colorado kids on both sides of the rosters. As a player, obviously I was a Colorado kid, so I know what that game meant, and it means a lot. It's important to both fan bases. We're doing it in Denver, so more of our fans on both sides can easily get to the game. So, obviously, besides creating momentum for the rest of your season, it's just big from the fact that, you want to have bragging rights for the year.
And in terms of the selection of Jordan Webb at quarterback, it came about so quickly. Was it something that he did that just stood out to you right away that you said, this is our guy?
Yeah, it is. You know, he just did a good job showing he had a good grasp of the offense. He was accurate. He did a good job of making decisions. And each day, every time we went out there in practice, he just was getting better and better. And so I felt like that he gave us our best chance. And so that's why I picked him, so he could start getting more reps with the one and kind of, you know, making sure that, you know, as soon as the team, you know, when you start talking about having a quarterback competition, the sooner your team knows, the better it is, just so they know who's kind of the guy that they're going to follow.
Got it. Thanks, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Your next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Piggybacking on Kevin there, have you made a decision, John, on backup quarterback yet?
No, we really haven't. You know, I think we'll go in, you know, we'll sit down and decide, you know, after this week's practice, you know, who's you know, the next guy in, so to speak, and go from there. You know, both of those guys, as you would expect, when you don't win the competition, you know, there's a little bit of a lull, a little bit of a, you know, disappointment. And so when they started bouncing back from that, we started kind of resuming the competition with them, and they both have been pretty close. So that's something I'll sit down and talk with Rip Shear about, is, you know, what do we want to do as far as our backup for this week, and kind of keep both of those guys going.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
John, when did Jordan Webb first cross your radar screen, and can you tell us a little bit more about him, just stylistically, you know, runner, passer?
Yeah, you know, we Jordan sent us some video back in, I want to say March, and late February, early March, and we watched it, and it was like, wow, you know. This kid, you know, there was something about him. And then he came out on a unofficial, well, we flew him out on a trip and all that, and had a chance to spend some time with him. He was a real good kid, great kid, and he got a chance to see us practice. And then he, you know, felt like this would be a good fit for him. And then he came back out again in July after he finished summer school out there, you know, and got his degree. So he's been here really learning the system since July, and you know, he's a very good athlete. He can make plays with his feet. He throws well on the run, and he does a good job of working the pocket and making decisions. You know, whether it's the check down or trying to fit one in a window on the second level, he does a good job making decisions as far as that's concerned.
And secondly, any idea how many true freshmen you might be going to play this year?
I would say probably 15 of our 24 will play this year, in that range, 15, anywhere between 14 and 16 probably.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
We're getting any further questions for Coach?
You do have a question from Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
I want to, Coach, can't let you get off too easy. Was curious how this new kickoff rule might affect you guys.
Well, you know, it is going to be unique to see how everyone does it. We've worked a few different things as far as what we want to do, and actually, I'm going to try to make that decision after Wednesday. We're going to practice it again and tomorrow. You know, I understand what they're trying to do as far as player safety and all that. I don't know if this is the answer. You know, I think it is an exciting play. And, you know, obviously if you have a good kick returner, this could hurt you some if they just choose to kick it out all the time. But there's a couple of different things we're looking at, whether it's kicking it out, whether it's a high pooch, whether it's, you know, squid or, you know, a little sky kick. All those different things, I think, are all in play now. But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the season.
Coach,
Do you think more teams will try to pooch and see if they can, do you think kickoff teams will pooch more looking at the 25-yard line is not a desirable place for the other team to start with the ball?
Yeah, I think that's one. I think also teams may put you in that, let's see if we can kick it 4 yards deep, and then you decide what you want to do. Is that when you're going to down it? Is it 3 yards? Your returners, those guys, it's something special about them to be back there. And so, you'll see those guys, they might catch it 4 yards deep and say, you know what, it's the third kickoff of the game. I'm tired of downing it, and then they're going to bring it out. You know what I mean? And it's one of those, you're mad at them if they don't get it to the 25, and then they take it all the way back. It's like, hey, great job. So there'll be some of those moments too.
Are you limited to, or is your situation different than coaches playing at sea level in terms of the ball?
Yeah, because I think for us, kicking it out should be, especially with our guy, I think it's something that should be fairly easy and routine. For us, and then obviously in sea level. Then you start to got to factor in the wind and all those things too. So it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting to see how it plays it up. Somebody's going to come up with something creative to give themselves an edge, and then you know how we all are. We're all going to try to find a way to copy it and put our own little spin on it. So it'll be interesting to see what special teams guys out there are going to come up with a creative way to take advantage of this rule.
Well, thank you.
All right, that'll do it. John, thanks for your time today, and good luck on Saturday against Colorado State.
All right, thank you, guys.
You bet. We'll see you.
Bye.
All right, we'll move along to Oregon State Coach Mike Reiling. Coach is online, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Scott Johnson, Everett Herald.
Hey, Coach Riley. You've been through a few, coaching changes in the Pac-12. Does this year feel any different? It doesn't seem like there's the young up-and-comers in the new group. Is it kind of a different group of new coaches this time around?
Well, it is. It's always interesting what takes place. But we've got some real good new veteran coaches that are entering this league. I think it makes it for a lot of unknowns, really, and I think a lot of excitement for the fans.
And is it something where you have to go and study tape of Michigan and West Virginia and Texas Tech and some of these other schools? Do you have to go back and look at what some of these guys have done in the past to prepare for the season?
That's exactly what we've done. The one thing about continuity, if you have it within the conference, you've got a library of stuff that maybe through the years that you've been able to watch and accumulate and get a feel for, but with the new coaching staffs coming in, you've got to go back in the history for your preparation a little bit.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. The next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Mike, how did 2 years ago you were hotly recruited by USC and a couple of other schools, and now you begin the 2012 season with some folks saying you're on the hot seat. Does that feel a bit strange for you? How do you kind of deal with that type of talk from whereas just a few years ago that you were the toast of Corvallis?
Ted, you just described life in the coaching business right there. If you hang around long enough, you're going to experience all those kinds of things that swirl around. And I think the good thing for me and our staff is, we've tried to learn from the last couple of years about our team and where we need to go and develop the guys that are in the program. But the focus is all about just playing some more ball this year and having a good team. So, if you let your mind or your thoughts be dominated by what's going on all around you, it's a big distraction of what you're trying to do. We've actually had a great camp. I'm excited about taking this team into a new year, I feel like a rookie. It feels like, okay, we got a fresh start. Let's go get them.
And speaking of rookies, you're starting a true freshman at center.
Mm-hmm. First of all, could you talk a little bit about him, and how much responsibility does your center have in terms of line calls?
A lot, you know, but we also have some guys that have played guard next to him that I think have been good, stable factors for him. Isaac Samalo, he's a very talented young man. He is very smart. He has spent a lot of time studying, extra meetings with Cav, and you know, I think that though a freshman, I think he's ready to go, and I think he will get better as he goes because of his work ethic and his talent.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Steve K., SK Media.
Well, Mike, your team has Nichols State this week. What do you know about team, and what are you going to have to do both on offense and defense to beat them?
Well, Nichols State runs parts of what we're going to see all year with the new staffs in the conference, which is probably good for us. But and what it forces you to do, they run a little bit of pistol. They have all the zone read stuff going. And of course, they throw the ball spread out over the field, so you're going to have to make plays in space and be very sound along the line of scrimmage on how you handle the running back and the quarterback and the assorted stuff that goes with that, the fly sweeps and bubble screens. They have to tackle well in the open field and make plays in the passing game one-on-one. Defensively, I think they have they present two problems. They've got real good interior guys. You know, I think we're going to have to do a good job of blocking with our guards and center, big defensive tackles. And the other thing, they play a lot of 3-4. Which gives you, you know, all the stuff with the any of the four or all the four trying to blitz so you got a lot of variety in getting ready, and that's basically what we'll see on both sides of the ball.
Your next question comes from Ian Furness, Sports Radio KJR.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Ian.
What do you know about Nichols State in terms of their travel and their situation? Obviously, a lot bigger things than football going on down there.
Oh, I know. I've been in New Orleans when I was with the Saints when we had a hurricane go through. Really disruptive, and I feel for them because it's all scary stuff, and you don't know exactly what's going to take place. And I remember having a hard time getting to the facility one day. So there's a lot of planning going on day to day about what you can do, and it is disruptive. But you know, we from our end of it, we just got to get ready for the game, and then hope that everything goes well down there.
Do you still expect them to come up? And I mean, I'm sure those conversations are taking place with, you know, ADs and so forth. But they're still planning on getting up here on the Saturday?
Yes, I think all systems are go. I haven't heard anything differently, and you're right. Probably there's more talk going on around us right now about the different possibilities, but I have not been told anything other than the game's on.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Kevin Gimmel, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach. You've talked so much in the offseason about wanting to get the running game back up and going. Can you just sort of update us on how that's going, and have you sort of settled on a pecking order yet of running backs, or are we still looking at a pretty heavy committee?
Well, we have settled on a starter in Storm Woods. Good competition, good camp for all the guys. Tough decision. We let them play a long time before we made a decision about it. You know, it was all through spring, all through the first 2.5 weeks of fall camp before we named a starter. But the other guys will play, and I think all those guys are good players. They're all over special teams. And you know, all indications are we're running the ball better. You know, I think our whole offensive line is better than we were a year ago. We had four guys that have played before that are returning and are definitely better players, better shape, more knowledgeable, and obviously more experienced. So I think that's a good sign for right now. Now we got to prove it, and it's a big, big factor for our success this year.
Thanks, Coach.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
Morning, Coach. I was
curious how you thought the new kickoff rule would change the game. Will it at all?
Patrick, I think it sure has changed the preparation. You know, just the takeoff is unusual. We've had to work hard at the timing of the takeoff. So, you know, you want to be hitting the thing at full speed, but it's virtually impossible. But you got to get up to good speed, and you got to have all be on side. And it's hard for them when they're lined up straight across to have good vision on the kicker. So that's a factor. And then, of course, there's a lot of strategy as to what people are going to do with the football. You know, are they going to try to kick it deep for a touchback and the 25-yard line? You're going to try to pooch the ball and try to stop them inside the 25. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that goes with it. So how people approach it, you know, we feel good about our kicker and the direction and distance that he has. However, you know, in our neck of the woods as the season goes on, weather plays the biggest factor in how we kick off. So we'll probably have to adjust game to game according to weather conditions and particularly wind.
I know there are always exceptions, but in general, would you prefer your kicker to just put it through the back of the end zone and give him the ball at 25?
Well, you know, it's probably yes, but again, we'll make those decisions based on the conditions at game time. And I think that initially we're going to kick the ball deep and with direction and try to hold to all of our coverage principles that we've done in the past.
All right, that'll do it. First call out of the way, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate it.
Good luck against Nicholls State.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Right, okay, we'll move along to Washington coach Steve Sarkisian. Coach is online, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
I guess you have to play a game first, Steve, before you get a question.
I love it. See you guys next week.
You have a question. You have a question from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Steve, I couldn't go a week without talking. I see you have an oar on the backup quarterback behind a Price. Has that resolved itself, or is it just kind of a game-time decision?
I believe the coach hung up his line.
Ted, you weren't quick enough with a star 1.
Early season mistakes, you know.
still in workout mode.
I can live without knowing who their backup quarterback is.
We'll try to get him back online here, see if we can get a response. All right, Ted, they're trying to reach Sark right now, get him back online. If we can't, we'll just move along to Stanford coach David Shaw and give him a call. All right, no luck in tracking down Washington coach Steve Sarkisian for a follow-up there, but we'll go ahead and continue, and we'll call out to Stanford coach David Shaw and have him online here in just a minute. Okay, Stanford coach David Shaw has joined us. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask a question, press star one. Your first question comes from Kevin Gimmel, ESPN.com.
Good morning, coach. I'm just curious, how's Josh been practicing over the past week since being named the starter?
He's been good. He's been good. He's taking it seriously, and I think every single day he gets a little bit more in control, I would say, because I think it's hard when you're in a competition to take the team over, because you're in a competition, you want to be respectful of the other guys that you're competing with until the coaches make a decision. But now that the decision's been made, I think Josh has started to assume control of the offense. And you know, I had to remind him the other day, you know, this is officially your huddle. You know, nobody else talks in your huddle but you. You know, it's not my huddle, it's your huddle. And he's starting to take that over, and it's good to see.
Have you seen the rest of the team sort of respond to him and as he tries to take control of that huddle?
I think they always have. I think they all knew that there was a competition going on, and I think they're excited that this is settled now. And we can just kind of get back to us being us.
Great. Thanks, Coach. Good luck on Friday.
Thanks, Kev.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Yeah, David, could you just give us a little bit of an idea of Nunez's style, you know, what type of player are you looking at out there?
He's a drop back passer. He was outstanding in high school. watched him there quite a bit. You know, great pocket movement. Smart kid, understands the game of football, understands our offense. Quick release, very accurate. It's hard for me to explain it until you see him play. You can have your own explanations, but I think he's a good drop back passer that can escape the pocket when he needs to.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Kyle Ringo, the Daily Camera.
Morning, Coach. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about trying to sustain the momentum that Stanford football has kind of created over the past few years now with, you know, a new quarterback and sort of a new era?
Well, the thing for us, the new era started about 5 years ago. We're still in the same era. We talk every year about there's no such thing as momentum from 1 year to the next. You know, for this year, we need to build our momentum. We need to earn our respect. Nothing we did last year or the year before counts. The guys that were here the year before that are not here now, those guys don't count either. So, you know, we're able to really concentrate on us, focus on the things that we need to do, and hopefully that'll be enough to get us where we want to go.
Thanks, Coach.
Sure.
To ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
Morning, Coach. Do you know how the new kickoff rule is going to affect your strategies?
That's the thing. I don't. For the long run, I don't. I think we're going to have a plan right now, and we'll see how the kickoff affects our kickers, first and foremost. You know, both in the height that we get and the distance that we get, are we getting more touchbacks? I know a lot of different teams have talked about maybe kicking with more height to entice people to return kicks and hopefully be able to pin them inside the 20. I don't know about all that, but as far as we're concerned, we're going to have a plan going into this season, and we'll watch closely to see what other people do and see how this affects not just us but everybody in college football.
Would you more times than not be fine with your guy putting it through the back of the end zone and giving them the ball to 25, or is that 5 yard difference significant in where the opposing team starts?
The only way that I can answer that without giving away any strategy is to say that it kind of does depend on the returner. You know, if you got a dynamic guy back there and you can put it out the back of the end zone, why take a chance? Give it to him on the 25. Let's go play. You know, but as far as us returning balls, you know, it depends on how we feel about our returns and our guys' abilities to possibly break one, and what our judgment is for whether to kneel on one in the end zone or to take it out. Those are going to need to be kind of experimented with throughout the year.
Do you have any questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, perfect. David, thanks for your time, and good luck on Friday night in your opener.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you. Okay, we'll move along to Washington State Coach Mike Leach. Coach is online and making his debut on the weekly teleconference call. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Scott Johnson, Everett Herald.
Hey, Coach Leach. This might not be the best week to be talking about Key West, but I was wondering if you've ever been standing out on the Palouse, just kind of thinking back to where you were this time last year and where those thoughts lead you.
Well, it's an incredible contrast. I mean, I'm very lucky. two times in a row I've gotten to live in two of the most beautiful places in the country with a contrast to it. You know, here we're kind of beautiful green foothills of the mountains, all that stuff. And I feel like I'm really lucky because, you know, I mean, I get the contrast and I get, you know, really scenic places, but that are scenic in different ways, you know. So, it's really good.
Do you miss the laid-back lifestyle that you had there, though? Is there anything particularly you miss about that?
You mean, am I having trouble here in the fast pace and the intensity of home in Washington, and it's not as laid back where it's hustle and bustle and you know, meetings and iPods and all that stuff? I've managed. I get by, and it's pretty laid back here, I have to say. I mean, it's every bit as laid back here as it is in Key West, so it's worked out good. I had hadn't been a change as far as, you know, the demands of coaching that's an intense business experience, all that, there's no question. But as far as the locale, I mean, well, this place is at least as laid back and maybe more than Key West.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from the line of Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
Good morning, Coach. I was curious, you talked before about the influence that BYU had on you schematically, and that I didn't know whether when you look at them now, do you see some things, some similarities with the stuff that you do?
A little bit. They're different, though. I think based on, the time that I really paid close attention and drew from them, I think we're clearly a little closer to that, you know, as far as what we do offensively, what we try to do, how we line up, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, BYU is still BYU. They've always been a program that's very steady, very consistent. You know, they go out there and they play with big, smart people, and they do a good job of utilizing them. I think, but I think on film, at least offensively and scheme-wise, in particular, we probably look a little more like BYU in the early 80s.
Is there any place, in Provo that you're going to try to get to or see while you're out there? I know it's a business trip.
Yeah, that pretty much is it, because you're in the middle of the routine. And so you follow that pretty religiously. It's almost, it's structured to the point where it develops into habit. And so from that standpoint, other than, driving in, it's really no different than any other trip because we're pretty preoccupied, just the whole hotel ritual and stuff like that. So I'm really not going to get anywhere but my hotel room and that type of thing and the meetings at the appropriate times. But, it's a great place, a great venue, one of America's great stadiums and great places to play, and we have the opportunity to do it and couldn't be happier.
The next question comes from Kevin Gimmel, ESPN.com.
Good morning, Coach. I noticed on the depth chart that you still have an or between Jeff and Connor. I'm just curious, is it a situation where both are playing really well or neither has really sort of seized the job?
Both are playing really well. Both get a certain amount of reps, and but they're both playing real well.
In terms of this week, you said on Saturday that if they played the game today, Jeff would be the starter. Has that changed at all?
No, not really. I mean, he's doing a really good job and does a good job leading the team, and he's been real consistent and steady in practice. They're both very similar in how they play.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from John Henderson, Denver Post.
Mike, how's your overall passing game looked this month?
Better than average. You know, I think we got a good core receivers, and we've had some young guys emerge. So we've been pleasantly surprised with their progress and things like that. And we've played pretty steady and pretty consistently and practice, and we need to maintain that. That's the hardest thing this time of year is consistency.
Your next question comes from Jason Puckett, Sports Radio KJR.
Mike, are you opposed to playing two quarterbacks in the same game, splitting up reps?
I don't think it's a very good idea. Never have. Because it's not the quarterback as much as you're asking your team to adjust to two different things, two different people. And then, the other thing is when you go out in a game, and play, I mean, you adjust, you kind of evolve around the circumstances, the situations, you kind of get in a rhythm with what's going on. You get to, as time goes on in the course of a game, you see and evaluate the field better. I can't think of very many people that have done a very good job of that. I know there's some dialogue and people talk about it and think it's brilliant and all that other stuff, but with that said, I can't think of, with rare exception, many teams that were really any good at it.
And then lastly, what are you looking forward to most as you get back on the field Thursday?
Well, I mean, like the players, I mean, as a coach, you practice every day, too. You practice calling plays. You practice coaching up plays. You practice, after you've run a play, the post-mortem, and you kind of debrief the guy and tell him, this time do this instead of that, or this was a good job because of this, to make sure you reinforce why it was good. So, just like those players, I've been practicing for a couple months also.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Kyle Ringo, The Daily Camera.
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
What is unique about recruiting to Washington State that you discovered in the past few months here?
Well, the biggest thing is it's an incredibly pretty place, but it's a place that even though people have heard of, that an awful lot of people haven't seen it. Where we're kind of foothills, mountains, clear sky. I mean, since we're in Washington and a lot of times people visualize Seattle, they think it rains all the time here. Well, it doesn't rain very much here, I mean, if it does, it drops and then it clears up, When people are here, they love it because it's truly a college town, and I mean a college town to the point where students spend more time up there on College Hill than they ever do downtown, even though we're a small town. I think getting them by here and getting them the visual of exactly what it's like.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Mike, any general sense as to where your defense is at this point in terms of progress?
On all those things this time of year, you're curious, and I'm not the only guy in the country. Everybody in the country is a little curious right now. You have initial impressions, but we're at the point where you just got to go out and play and kind of find out, So we're curious really on all sides of the ball where exactly we're at.
Your next question comes from Bob Clark, Register Guard.
Hey, Mike, you've certainly been to some opening games before, but is there any difference when you haven't had an opener for a couple of years and you're in a new place like this? Anticipation or excitement for you?
Yeah, I think so. Again, though, some of that's mitigated by having done it every day, for several days. I'm going to do it again today, and then Friday, I don't get to, or not Friday, it's not a Friday this week. Wednesday, I don't get to do it as much, but get to do it again on Saturday, So looking forward to it, certainly, and then first games in general, like Bud asked, you're always kind of, you know, you've worked hard. You've done a lot of real positive things in the course of the game. You're going to see things that you're pleasantly surprised with how well they worked. You're going to see a lot of things that need work. Both teams at the end of this game, and both teams are at the end of everybody's first game, will find a lot of things to work on, no matter who you are. And, you know, I've had big games, or, you know, first games where we won by a big score and stuff like that. But you go back and watch the film, I mean, you got your work cut out for you. And that's just football, and that's, you know, the first couple weeks. And it's a constant series of adjustments, and that never really ends. And that's what's most compelling and consuming about it, you know.
I know you kind of inherited this opener. Any feeling about this big of a challenge typically for an opener going on the road against a team that good?
I haven't spent much time thinking about it. I mean, I don't have any control over it. You line up and get as good as you can each day and go out and get it done, you know.
Your next question comes from John Gold, CBS Sports.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good. You're very enthusiastic.
Oh, thank you, Coach. You know, we hear so often about players playing with a chip on their shoulder. Going into this year, is there any such thing in your mind about coaching with a chip on your shoulder, just, you know, because of obviously everything that's happened?
Yeah, maybe a little. I try to worry about the task at hand, doing just to worry about ourselves, doing the best we can, being the best players that we can be. You know, because from one play to the next, I mean, that's what you have. What's your job? What's your role? Are you excited to do it? As a matter of fact, with regard to excitement, you probably ought to talk to our team because, you know, a whole lot of it's just kind of body language and that type of stuff. Go out there and just be excited about every play. And, you have a chip on your shoulder every single play because any time, you know, you're in a deal where you're looking for constant improvement and where you're constantly gauging it with film, you know, results, yards, blocks, how this went, how that, and it's constantly evaluated. I think there's always an element of that.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, that'll do it. Mike, thanks for your time today, and good luck at BYU on Thursday.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet. Take care.
All righty, bye.
Okay, up next we'll move along to Arizona coach Rick Rodriguez, another coach making his debut on the media teleconference call for the Pac-12. Coach is on the line, and we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Ryan Atulo, Toledo Blade.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hey, Ryan. How you been?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Have you seen any benefits of kind of the band getting back together on defense with Jeff coming back over? Is the continuity there?
Yeah, certainly. I think that was one of my objectives, certainly, to have the staff chemistry we knew was going to be good. But more than anything, there's a comfort level that I know the guys are going to have, understand the way we want to run our program, the way we run our practices, our off-season program, everything that we do involved. Jeff and the rest of the defensive staff understand not only what we're doing, but why and how we're going to do it. So that's been really good. And certainly, there's a lot of trust from my standpoint as far as them putting together a game plan and developing the young men in our program.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. We have a question from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Rich, I got an off-the-track question a bit to ask you. In your jobs at FBS schools, have you changed at all in terms of open practices, or has your philosophy on that, you know, changed from West Virginia to Michigan to Arizona?
No, it's been pretty similar, Bud. I think or in spring it's more open. I think most coaches are like that way, and then maybe in the beginning of camp in August, you know, that's a little more open. And as you get closer to game time, Most coaches kind of close it down. And not so much you're worried about, you know, who's watching and all that, because people are going to start watching your games and they can figure it out. But just more from a focus and eliminating the distraction standpoint. So really the philosophy that we've had at Michigan and West Virginia and here is pretty similar. You know, we like to have some open times, open scrimmages, open things at times in spring and early in camp. And as the season gets going, like now into game week, we close it down a little bit more.
Have you ever had a situation where you felt, you know, there was, you know, intelligence on the field getting out where you didn't want it?
Well, there have been a few times. You know, probably at every stop I've been, you're like, who's that person? What is he doing up there? And most of the time we're probably overly paranoid and worried about that stuff too much. But I think, you know, most coaches, we you know, they put so much work in and game planning and maybe something special they put in for the week that you hope that at least on Saturday there's a little bit of element surprise. We're probably overly cautious, but and I'm not overly paranoid, I don't think, but at the same time, if there's somebody there that's not, you know, a member of your program or a member of the football family, so to speak, you wonder, well, okay, what are they? Are they just a fan, or are they have a certain objective? Because these games are so important, you always worry a little bit too much.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
We have a follow-up question from Ryan Atullo, Toledo Blade.
Yeah, Rich, you and Matt Campbell, Toledo's head coach, both offensive guys now that have been very successful on that side of the ball but played defense in college. Did you see, especially early in your coaching career, a benefit in having, I guess, an understanding of what defenses were doing as you were trying to game plan for them?
I think so. When I first started doing this offense 20-some years ago at Glenville State, you know, you're right, I'd always been on the defensive side as far as a college player and as a GA and all that. But I do think when I first started doing an offense at Glenville and calling plays from an offensive standpoint as a head coach, I thought, okay, what are the things that I thought was difficult to defend as a player and what was difficult to defend as a coach? And so that was part of the basis of what we tried to put in our offensive package. And then over the years, we've continued to tweak and develop it.
Your next question comes from John Gold, CBS Sports.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good, John.
Coach, obviously Matt Scott kind of took the road less traveled by to get to where he's at now. Can you talk about where he's kind of at mentally and just sort of in terms of embracing, you know, the role that he's about to play and what he's about to do for you?
Yeah, I'm really proud of Matt. You did mention it's been a long road for him. You know, very few times you see a fifth-year guy that hang around like Matt and get his opportunity with a whole new coaching staff. And so we're really blessed and fortunate that Matt's here for this fifth year. And, you know, not only has he, you know, done, I think, a really good job of learning our system in a short period of time, but also taking that leadership role. And that kind of comes with the position. I think Matt understands that, but he's taken it even a step further. I see a really hungry athlete that wants to prove himself. Even though he has played and has proven himself at times, I think he's hungry to prove himself that he can run the system. He can be the kind of leader that our program needs. And I wish he had more years, but I think we're going to get a great year out of Matt. And he's been a real joy to coach both in spring practice and now in August.
Coach, just a quick follow-up. What, you know, with your specific system, to have a guy like that to kind of come into, you know, rather than have to maybe shift a guy over who's not quite a fit, or have to wait a year to recruit a guy into your system, how important is it to have, I don't know if you want to call it a buffer, you know, just a guy to kind of do the job for you this first year and then maybe get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, you like to have a guy that you can, you know, because as good as I think Matt can have a really good year and all that, but then you think, boy, if we had him, you know, 2 or 3 years in the system, how good could he be? And not just from his athletic ability, but, you know, he can really throw the football, and he's really – taken, I think, to heart to learning football, not just what we're doing, but what defenses are doing and all that. So you would expect a fourth or fifth year kid to quarterback to have some of that knowledge, and he does. And he's been coached well while he's been here. But, you know, combining that knowledge with what we want to do offensively and how to attack, you know, Matt's done a really, really good job of that. So, you know, that's why we haven't hit him in practice. We've kept him off because we think he can, you know, if he stays healthy, he can have a really good year for us.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
Any further questions for Coach?
We have a follow-up question from Ryan Atullo, Toledo Blade.
Rich, do you see similarities in the spread offense that Toledo runs to the one that you do, and what issues do they present to your defense?
Yeah, I do see there's a lot of similarities, you know, both formation-wise and scheme-wise. They do some of the similar stuff that our guys have seen, and they'll spread you out. They've got two very good quarterbacks that are good decision makers that, you know, that can run as well. They got some explosive receivers at slot, and it's a slot position and outside. So I think it's been good. It's probably been helpful for them getting ready for us, and I think hopefully it's been helpful for our defense as well going against each other, because they're going to see some similar stuff, you know, this Saturday night.
Any other questions?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, Rich, thanks for your time today, and good luck in your opener on Saturday night.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we've got a little bit of a break here in the order of coaches. Next will be Jeff Tedford, California coach. He will come on at 25 minutes after the hour. We do have this break here for the next couple of weeks. Chip Kelly's normal time slot, 11:15 a.m. Pacific time, will begin on Tuesday, September 25th. For the first four calls, he will be at the end of this teleconference call at 12:15 p.m. Pacific time. So, again, we do have a little break here. We will resume the call with California coach Jeff Tedford at 11:25 a.m. Pacific. Okay, we are about to resume the Pac-12 men's weekly football coaches teleconference call. We're dialing out to California coach Jeff Tedford. We'll have my line here in just a minute. Okay, we'll go ahead and continue the call. We have California coach Jeff Tedford online, and they will open up the season Saturday with Nevada in the newly renovated Memorial Stadium. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. The first question comes from John Henderson, Denver Post.
Hey, Jeff, just want to see how the new stadium looks.
Excuse me?
How does the new stadium look?
Oh, the stadium's great. Yeah, it's we've been in there now a couple days practicing in there. The field's great. It's a totally different environment in there. It looks great. The people did a really good job of designing it and building it, and I think our fans are going to be really pleased when they get here for our opener.
Now, Washington is playing in the Seahawks stadium. How much of a home field edge did you lose playing in an NFL stadium last year?
Well, we lost a lot, because we're over there in a baseball stadium and, in the city. And so it just didn't have the same electricity. They're going to play in a football stadium. So I'm sure I'm sure that won't be much for them. But for us, we had bleachers in there trying to make a baseball stadium a football stadium. And so it just wasn't the same.
The next question comes from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Jeff, Teddy Barber took a pretty aggressive defensive view in a story the other day, talking about fan chatter, about hot seat talk. Was that meaningful for you, and is there any chance that stuff becomes a distraction to your team during the season?
That's news to me. I never actually saw that. So, that's nice to know. It's something you really can't get caught up with. It's, we have our job to do, and, this profession kind of brings that type of thing, and everyone has opinions, and, with social media these days, things just kind of, things can kind of catch fire and things like that you really can't control it. So, not something I spend much time thinking about at all. We have to get ready to play a game, and so it's not something we spend a lot of time talking about.
And kind of compare and contrast where Zach Maynard is today getting ready for game one to where he was last year at this time.
Totally different. It's going into last season as far as game planning and knowledge of our offense and speed of the game and management of the game. There was a learning curve there, and we struggled a little bit early in the year, and then he really settled in the latter half of the season. He was in the top 13 in the country in quarterback efficiency. So coming into this season, he did a nice job in spring football, fall camp. He understands what we're trying to get done, and the game, I think, has slowed down for him, as it does, for quarterbacks who have experience. And so and then management of the football game, of protecting the football, is key, and knowing not to force things and stuff like that. So, there's no question that the year of experience under his belt makes us a better team.
And then, you just like you said in the spring, your depth chart has a lot of freshmen at wide receiver. Could you talk about those guys and whether you think they're game ready?
Yeah, well, I know they've done a great job in camp. They've really proven that they're going to be great players. Bryce Treggs, Chris Harper, and Darius Powell are the three freshmen that are going to play for us, and all guys that have a lot of skill, agility, and, but again, anytime freshmen are playing in a game, things come up in the game, and so there's going to be a learning curve there, and they're going to have to get comfortable, but they're great kids. They've really worked hard to learn what we're doing, and looking forward to seeing them, seeing them play. We have to make sure they keep their confidence high, but they're going to be really good players.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Chris Murray, Reno Gazette Journal.
Hey, Coach. The pistol offense, obviously, as Nevada runs, it's a pretty unique scheme. I mean, what did you learn about that system from the 2010 game? And, I mean, how much does that help you going into preparation for this game?
Well, I hope we learned quite a bit. I think we have. we'll see this weekend. But it, you know, you learn to be really disciplined because it's like the triple option. You know, it's you have to take away all phases of the play. They really know what they're doing. I mean, they're excellent at what they do. They understand how to counter certain defenses with certain things, and so you just have to be really disciplined. You know, you have to keep your eyes where they need to be, and can't try to make plays that aren't your responsibility. And then you have to be really good open field tacklers because they can get you one on one in the open field, and so you have to be solid tacklers. So discipline is the key, and really training your eyes to stay disciplined on your assignment.
Do you think that game and how that play out, I mean, affects how your players will look at Nevada coming into this game?
Well, I think for sure that, you know, we're making sure to remind them of how good Nevada is and how they can get rolling. They scored over 50 points against us last time we played them, and you know, so, you know, going into this, our players understand that they're a very good football team, and they're very explosive with their offense, and so we're going to have to play hard and stay disciplined, like I said, and be good tacklers and try to get the ball back. Try to not let them control the football either, because they did a nice job of that last time we played them, was control the clock.
Cool. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Paul Cackle, San Francisco Examiner.
Hi, Coach. When you were recruiting Keenan Allen, he was one of the top safeties in the country, and I'm just wondering if you can describe just how talented he was on both sides of the ball and why you feel and felt that he's more valuable to your team on offense.
Well, Keenan's a guy who can pretty much do anything you want him to do. He's very gifted, and he has a great feel for the game. For us, he could play either side of the ball, there's no doubt about it. That he could go play safety and be just as effective and probably one of the best safeties in the country. But for us offensively, he caught 98 balls for us last year, and he's a big-time receiver. He's big, fast, great hands, has a great feel for the game and understanding of the game. So, you know, he's, for us, you know, to get the ball in his hands and make big plays, that's where we utilize him the most, obviously. And, you know, a kick returner, as many times we can get the ball in his hands, that's what we want to do. But there's no doubt in my mind that he could, if he wanted to, he could switch to the other side of the ball and be as good as any other guy in the country at safety.
Well, you know, as the NFL moves more and more to, like, the double tight end sets, all I keep hearing is that the safety position is going to need to get bigger. And, you know, he's 6'3 and pretty quick. I'm just wondering, might he have more value in the NFL as a safety?
No, I think he's got a lot. Well, I don't know. Maybe he could, but I think he's got a lot of value at receiver. You know, I think he's, he's one of the top receivers in the country, you know. So, you know, there's other guys who play safety that I'm sure are valued, but, you know, I don't think Keenan's going to change positions for the NFL. It would be different maybe if he wasn't so productive at receiver, but he's one of the top receivers in the country, so he's going to stay where he is.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Okay.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from Christian Capel, Spokesman Review.
Hey, Jeff, going back to the stadium for a second, I'm wondering what reception you've seen from recruits when they see it or you talk about it, and kind of how you're expecting that to help you in that regard going forward.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it will help us in recruiting. The High Performance Center now has been open since January, and so I think that will help us, you know, in the future recruiting. The stadium hasn't been open yet, but it's very impressive, and to be able to have the High Performance Center and the stadium. You know, before, I don't think it was any secret that we had probably some of the worst facilities around, and, you know, we were fortunate and blessed to have the players that we had with the facilities that we had. But now we're, you know, that's just one piece of recruiting, but, you know, that's not something we need to worry about anymore, about our facilities, because it's as good as any place in the country, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
Any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, that'll do it. Jeff, thanks for your time, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. Okay, up next will be USC coach Lane Kiffin. We are dialing out to him now, and we'll have him on the call in just a minute. Okay, USC coach Lane Kiffin has joined us. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
Guess you need to play the game first.
We have a question from Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
You know, Lane, your voice started coming up on me when I asked him this question, so I hope I don't get the same from you, but have you made a decision on your backup quarterback?
Can we hang up on you, too?
Oh, man.
You there?
There you go, Lane, you there?
Yeah.
All right.
You there?
Yep,
okay.
We're here.
Yeah, we feel very confident in both guys and feel that both guys could run our entire offense. We made a decision just based off of who would go in first, and that's Max Wittick. And this will have nothing to do with who starts next year for us. That job will be completely open this spring and next fall. But hopefully we'll get in a situation at some point where we can play both of them this season.
Right, thanks.
Your next question comes from John Gold, CBS Sports.
Hey, Coach, kind of off that question, is that something that you kind of explained to both of them, the idea that, you know, you had to name a backup now, but that is not an indication of what happens next year? Is that something you actually discussed with Max and Cody?
Yeah, we definitely discussed that and talked to them and before we ever released that this morning to the media.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from Patrick Finley, Arizona Daily Star.
Hey, Coach. Obviously, you guys have been creative over the years in special team stuff. How do you think you're going to play the new kickoff rule, and how do you think it affects the game?
Well, I think we don't know yet. I think that you're going to have to, you know, go a half a season to see it, because I think most people would assume the touchbacks would go up. I think that every team's going to have different philosophies of whether they're going to hang the ball and try to pin people deep, or whether they're just going to take the touchback at the 25, and whether you're going to return it is return units too. So I think a lot will go into your kickers, who you're playing, the altitude that you're at, the wind. So I think that it does probably bring more coaching and decision making into the game on what you're going to do.
Was it difficult at first to not have that 5-yard running start on the kickoff? Did that take some time in practice just to kind of get the hang of the timing of everything?
Yeah, it does. You know, the timing with the kicker and trying to get up to as close to full speed as you can took a while.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Bird Lewis, Honolulu Star Advertise.
Good morning, Coach. I'm wondering, having worked with Norm Chow over the years, what are you expecting from him in the opener, and what are you expecting from him in general?
Well, I don't think we know. You know, he's not been a head coach before, and so I think there's a lot of unknowns of what they're going to do schematically. Is he going to come out attacking? Is he going to, you know, come out running the ball? And so I just think because of the staff being new to their personnel changes they're going through, I don't think any of us know. So I think it'll be interesting to see early in the game.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1.
Are there any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, Elaine, thanks for your time today, and good luck with your opener on Saturday.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you. Okay, up next will be Arizona State Coach Todd Graham. We have a few minutes before we dial out to him. Again, we'll have another break here. He'll be on at 5 minutes after the hour. Okay, we're about to resume the teleconference call with the Pac-12 football coaches. We are dialing out to Arizona State coach Todd Graham, and we'll have him online in just a minute. Okay, Arizona State coach Todd Graham has joined us for the conference call. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. You have a question from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Hey, Todd. Wonder if you could just give us a little bit of a scouting report on Taylor Kelly and what his progression was that caused him to rise to the top.
Well, you know, first, it's been a heated battle. I mean, those guys are all really competitors, and all we feel really confident about all three of them. But Taylor is a guy that just very consistent, very even keel. Does a great job of managing the game. Very smart player, a guy that can extend plays, make things happen with his legs, but very accurate with the arm. And the bottom line was, you know, we felt like. Coming into this season, I'll be honest with you, we thought he was, a little bit behind. We thought he was third. He got stronger and faster and improved his arm strength over the summer. And, he's the guy that, he just don't turn the football over. And, he manages the game and gives us an opportunity. So, those are the reasons why we picked him.
And the quarterback spot is so often one of leadership. Even in the summer, rallying guys to the weight room and conditioning and that kind of stuff. Was it at all crazy having, three guys who at that point, were all viable candidates?
Yeah, I mean, that was what made it so hard. And obviously Michael Eubank is so talented. I mean, he is going to be a great quarterback. I mean, he's 6'5", 247. He has the strongest arm. I mean, he can throw a deep ball 70 yards. I mean, he's really he's a guy that's going to continue. He's going to play, too. I mean, he'll play, in packages for us. He's a really good one. But Taylor is a guy that I think that if we voted probably who they wanted to be the quarterback, I think that our guys, with his work ethic, his leadership, he's a guy that will be hard to beat.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Bob Clark, Register Guard.
Coach, your opener and then I think a couple more games later in the season on Thursday nights. Any thoughts on those and anything you've learned from past doing that?
I don't like them.
Okay.
The reason why I don't like them is that it causes us to miss, too much class, and I think it's going really, really hard on our kids, when that happens. But, obviously we've got to, you got TV schedules and things like that we have to work with, and that's something that we're more than willing to do our part. But, one of the things that makes it really hard for us when we have back-to-back, like we have this year, back-to-back Thursday games, because, we're missing 4 days of school, basically, especially if you're traveling on the road. So, it makes it hard for guys. And so I think we've got 12 days or something like that of class, that we're going to miss. And that's a little bit higher, and the reason why is because of those midweek games. But, you know, I'm not big on that. I'm not big on playing on Friday night either because I don't like I'm an old high school coach, so I don't like that. But I'm kind of a Saturday afternoon guy or Saturday night guy. But we think it is a good for this first week. I like having the extra day prepare for the next week, and then I think it helps our crowd with Labor Day and all that, playing on Thursday instead of Labor Day weekend.
But when you did it in the past, did you have situations where you had to play a Saturday and then come right back? On these, you've got buys at least before. Later.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not that there's buys before, But one of the things, we don't actually have a bye week this year because we played a back-to-back Thursdays. You're off about 10 days, or something like that. It's not you're not even off that. I mean, you're off about 10 days, but you don't have a full like a full benefits of a bye week where you go basically off a week and then you practice, and so you have 2 weeks break there just kind of to heal up a little bit. But it is good. I've never played where we played on a Tuesday 1 week and then came back and had to play on a Saturday, and I played on a Sunday Saturday as well, and those are just absolutely shouldn't do. I think it's really hard on guys. But, sometimes they do have to do it.
Your next question comes from George Schroeder, USA Today.
Hey, Todd. Quick question. What do you expect from the new kickoff rules?
It's going to be interesting. It's an interesting deal. I mean, because you kick it out of the end zone, they get it on the 25, So I imagine there'll be a lot more balls kicked out of the end zone. But, I think people's strategies will be different. I think a lot of people would be trying to probably kick it high and keep it in play and trying to pin you, a little bit more. But I like the change. I think it's one of the most violent plays in football, and there's a lot of injuries and things like that occur because of that. So obviously there's a reason why the NFL does it, and you can't get back. I think not being able to get back more than 5 yards, I think will ease a little bit of those collisions, but there's still going to be big time collisions on that, and that's just part of it. But the other side of it is, the onside kick stuff. You can fair catch. That's really going to help, I think, because you're kicking the ball down the ground now. One bounce, you can fair catch it.
Yeah. Okay? No.
So there's going to be some different strategies on onside kicks. So I don't know. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think you'll see. I think you probably see a few more balls kicked out of the end zone, But our strategy is we want to keep in play. We want to try to land it on the goal line, kick it as high as we can, land it in between the goal line and five, and make them bring it out of there.
I know that obviously they've got the players lined up 5 yards back instead of deeper, but if you kick it that high, couldn't there be potential for more injury? Kind of it turns into more of a punt like type of trajectory.
Well,
in that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to change much of the trajectory. We've been trying to do that. It's kind of the way. There's only as far as how talented your kicker is, you can get about a 4 second hang time is about all you can get on a kickoff, and that's pretty good. I don't know. I don't think you're ever going to. That's always going to be the most violent play in football. I do think the rules that they've done, at least we're doing and taking some precautions and doing some things there. That at least following suit what the NFL's done. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay.
Again, to ask a question, press star one. You have a follow-up question from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Bud, how did the Tonizona experience go for you guys?
It was absolutely. I thought it was going to be good, and it turned out great. I mean, it was absolutely awesome. In this day and age, with all the luxuries you have in college football, you stay in the nicest hotels, and then these kids, everybody's got an iPhone, everybody's on Facebook. I mean, our guys go up to training table. We've actually don't let them use their phone because they don't ever talk to each other. They're always on, on social media and all that type of stuff. And so going up there to Camp Tonizone, there's no cell phone. There's no cell phone towers, so your cell phone don't work. So there's no iPads. No, we didn't take any electronics, no earphones, and it was then the bare necessities. I mean, it was the bare necessities. Now it was just a bed and a cot and a shower, and it was really good. I thought our guys kind of went in probably pretty skeptical. and came out, and they were just, you know, I think came out closer as a football team. I was very, very impressed with the guys that came up and said, "Yo, coach, man, thanks for giving us the opportunity to come up here. Now we know, you know, what this place is all about." And there's something magical about the place, you know. You know, going down, seeing our linebackers jump off the same place where Pat Tillman jumped off the cliff at, climbing Mount Cush, singing the fight song. I love the pageantry and the tradition of college football. And here at ASU, Camp Tonizona is the tradition. And so it was awesome. It exceeded my expectations.
Again, to ask a question, press star one.
Do you have any further questions for Coach?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, beautiful. Todd, thanks for your time. Good luck on your opener on Thursday night against Northern Arizona.
All right, thank you.
Very good, thank you. Okay, up next will be Oregon Coach Chip Kelly. We have called out to him. We're on hold right now. We'll have him online in just a minute. State, Oregon coach Chip Kelly has joined us. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask a question, press star 1. Do you have a question from Brian Hamilton, Chicago Tribune?
Hey, Chip, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I want to talk a little bit about starting a redshirt freshman quarterback and just how much you build in the expectations that there are going to be some growing pains and a pretty steep learning curve along the way. How much of that is sort of ingrained in your thinking when you go with a guy who hasn't taken a snap yet?
It's not ingrained in our thinking. If we didn't think, if we think we had to adjust things or do things like that, then he wouldn't have won the starting job. So,
what is being just watching for a year, absorbing things, how can that help him? How are there, what things is he still going to have to learn as he goes along, as he actually plays in the game?
Well, he's obviously got to learn that, the speed and the tempo of the game because he hasn't been in the game, but there's got to be a first time for everybody. And when you're out and you're a student of the game, you can make assessments and really kind of put yourself in the quarterback's shoes and what would you do if you were in his situation, which I think every backup quarterback does when he's not in. He's analyzing the situation and studying it and trying to see what the best answer is to the question that the defense presents. But, he hasn't played in the game. There's nothing we can do to manufacture that. We do a lot of things in practice, and we do a lot of things to, bring in officials in and try to simulate game situations. But his first real live snap is going to be on Saturday night, and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
Okay.
The next question comes from Christian Cable, Spokesman's Review.
Chip, for a team that has done so well in the kick return game the past few years, I'm wondering what you think of the new kickoff rules and how that might affect the way you guys approach that.
I really am unsure of how it will express itself. I think everybody can have an opinion and a prediction, but it really doesn't matter if they get out of the game. So, obviously they moved the kickoff up 5 yards, so people will anticipate there's more touchbacks, but touchbacks comes out to the 25-yard line. So, they moved it up 5 yards, but you get 5 extra yards in the return game. So, it'll be interesting. I think a lot of that is a byproduct of what your kicker can do. Everybody will say, hey, if I did it, I would sky it and do all these other things, but can your kicker sky it? Can he place it where it needs to be placed? So really don't have a comment on any new rule change, and I've always been the same way with the NCAA until you get a chance to kind of work your way through it and see how it's going to express itself, whether it's that rule change or the helmet coming off rule change or anything that's we've been having to make adjustments to. We had the celebration rule a year ago that everybody made a big deal about, and I think there was one called the entire year. So really won't know until we get into the meat of our schedule and find out how teams are going to try to approach us.
Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Chip, was there a week or a day or a period of time when Mariota really seemed to grab hold of this thing or really jumped up at you?
No. It was very analytical, very detailed. We knew from the start how many practices we were going to have. We've done it every year I've been here, Bud. It's the same thing. I don't understand or why anybody would name a quarterback coming out of the spring, because a lot of things can happen between the spring and the summer. And then, when you're going to make a big decision about who your quarterback's going to be, you want to take all the information in you can. And the way it fell for us, in terms of looking at the calendar, is we had 15 practices in the spring and 22 full practices in preseason camp to make an evaluation off of 37 practices. So, there wasn't one day or one moment you can go back and say, aha, that's it. It's just a culmination of the entire time and what we felt give us the best shot playing this Saturday.
I saw Mark Helfrich quoted that Marcus really seems to understand space in your offense. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I missed the word that he understands. What was it, Bud?
A space, like outer space.
No, just spacing on the field, like where everybody's supposed to be, and he's got a great grasp of that. He's such a detail-oriented kid. He can tell you if the receiver that ran a curl was on his right landmark or not, because he understands how far he's supposed to be, from our tight end when that tight end's running his route. I think so. He's got a great understanding of where everybody fits and where all the pieces kind of go in together on our offense.
And finally, I know you've evolved into closed practices down there all the time, and I just wondered what your thought process was.
Yeah, that was simple. We just through studying it and going through it one way and the other way, we just felt like this gave us the best opportunity to prepare. So my job is about making sure our environment to prepare is the best, and that's what we felt is best for us.
I mean, was it just less distractions that way, or?
No, I didn't say that. I felt this was the best way, situation for us to prepare.
Any other questions for Coach?
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, perfect, Chip. Thanks for your time. Good luck in your opener this weekend.
Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, that will conclude today's call. Again, it has been taped. The taped replay can be heard later this afternoon by calling 866-402-5083. And audio files will be available on the Pac-12 website, which is pac12.com. That's pac-12.com. Under the football tab, there will be audio files posted later today. Thank you again for your participation.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.